The shotgun snap. He's got time. Unloads it down the field. Avery wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City! Keenum gets sacked by Tavahali, who came untouched and destroys Keenum for the fourth sack by the Chiefs. Center handoff, Charles, play on the left side, spins, touchdown! Kansas City! Jamal Charles, his second rushing touchdown of the game.
And love our new open. That's called December Football Time to Win Open. Hi, everybody. I'm Mitch Hiltus, voice of the Chiefs, along with a 15-year long snapper, the best ever to have that position in the National Football League, Kendall Gammon. All right, we're going to look back before we move forward. This week, the Chiefs take on the Washington Redskins in D.C. as the Chiefs try to break a three-game losing streak. But let's look back to last week's game against the Denver Broncos. Played downhill, got up 21-7, 108-yard kickoff return. Offense was looking great. Nope. What happened?
Well, you're right. When you get up to 21-7, that's a great half of football. And generally, when I spoke to Andy Reid going in at halftime, he was pretty pleased with what was going on. Felt like they had a few field position gaps that didn't help them out. But other than that, again, but that being the biggest one, because that right there, while they came back and led 21-7, the fact of giving that up when you're on the two-yard line was huge.
And here, the Chiefs come right back, though, and get a pick of Peyton Manning. They pick him twice. Demps gets over the top of the play. Demaryius Thomas was kind of banged up, but the Chiefs came right back here, Kendall. What about the ability to get some offense early on a play like that?
Well, Junior Hemingway, you talked about it. He hadn't been heard from touchdown-wise since the first game of the season, I believe. Does a nice job. Of course, as a four-core on special teams. But getting it through the air, that was huge. But again, they come back. And like you said, Decker had a career day. Gets that through the air. And this, to me, was the play of the game, even though the Chiefs did not win, in terms of you're starting to see somebody emerge who we'll get better throughout the years, this year, but even more so as time goes on.
And this was much like his return against Pittsburgh in the preseason. It appeared, and even when I made the radio call, a guy had the angle. He just blew by that guy. I mean, he just gets faster as he gets the return. How excited are you about him?
I'm very excited about him, because that's the thing, is the speed-to-weight ratio just isn't fair. And I'll tell you what isn't fair also is watching Anthony Fasano make catches like that in the back of the end zone. His second in as many weeks, and then, of course, he had a touchdown pass before that as well in the week before. So some good stuff generally, but when it comes down to it, You're playing Peyton Manning, and he's a surgeon. I mean, he's doing some good things with him like he always does.
That's an incredible throw there, and Hall of Fame throw. But the Chiefs opened the door for him. The fact that the Chiefs couldn't keep extending the lead, I said 21-7 was like 0-0, and then Decker, he just had it going on. What about the Chiefs defensively, and what didn't happen here?
Well, you know what, I think if you would talk to the Chiefs, they would generally admit secondary-wise might have taken some poor angles, didn't get to where they wanted to be at certain times. A little bit of confusion every once in a while. It's too bad, because in that first half, to me, I saw a Peyton Manning, future Hall of Famer, as rattled as you'll ever see a Peyton Manning. They were doing some very good things.
Yep, and the fact that the Chiefs could not extend on the 21-7 lead and open the door and still had a chance to win it, or at least tie it at the end and go to overtime. Now, we alluded to Nile Davis. Let's take a look a little closer at the rookie from Arkansas. 108-yard return, the longest in Chiefs history, second longest in NFL history. But he also had a 20-yard run in this game. He had three touches for 38 yards outside of the kickoff return. What are we seeing here now from Nile Davis?
Well, the big thing, we're going to start with this kickoff return, and you can't see it from this angle, but as a coverage unit, you try to get as many people inside the 30 as possible. When Nile caught that ball deep in the end zone, they had eight people inside the 30. The fact is, the play was blocked well, and then he made some plays of his own. Ran into some people, broke out of the tackles, and like you said it, and what we're seeing here right now is the fact of the speed and the weight don't match up. You don't expect a guy of this stature to run as fast as he does.
But you can talk about speed and weight, but then the psychology of the game. It appears we see some confidence growing in Nile Davis. And you and I have watched it week by week by week. If he starts to get some confidence, which it seems like he's getting, How much can he be a vice president to Jamaal Charles in this offense?
Well, we've seen it the last several weeks in terms of he's starting to get more and more carries like you talked about. If you can rest number 25, Jamaal Charles, a little bit, helps not only at the end of the game, but at the end of the season. And you talked about it. If there was one flaw in his game, it was the fact that he has let the ball go every once in a while. He's getting more and more confident, Mitch, and with that, you're going to see him to continue to develop.
The other thing I keep hearing from the coaches is he's getting more comfortable in protections. When he's the single back back there or in their two-back offense, that was kind of the last straw for them. They needed to see him be confident in protections. What about that angle?
Well, you're right, because Eric Bieniemy worked with him in preseason. I was lucky enough to talk to Niall at length during the training camp, and that's what he talked about was, you know, the one thing that was so different was the pass protections and knowing who you have to pick up and when you have to pick up. And he talked about the fact that Eric Bieniemy was doing a good job getting through to him with that.
Well, now it's time to move on. The Chiefs need to win a game, try to get a 10th win, and they go to Washington to try to do it. What is Alex Smith thinking about it, and how does his experience play into this? We'll find out when we come back on this edition of Chiefs Live.
This is a tunnel, but not everyone can enter. The men who gather here have a kingdom to honor, a home to defend. And come Sunday, there's no place they'd rather be. This is the Players' Tunnel at Arrowhead. Just a few short steps from glory.
Would you like a behind-the-scenes look at Arrowhead Stadium? Then come on out to Arrowhead for one of our amazing stadium tours. You'll visit the Founders Club, the Scout Investments Club level, the Hall of Honor presented by Time Warner Cable, the team locker room, and walk along the field itself. We have a number of tour options to fit your style, and we can't wait to see you at Arrowhead Stadium. For dates and times, visit goarrowhead.com for more information. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Back of the game. Eric Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
This is a microphone like no other microphone. It's not meant for karaoke or morning announcements, no. This mic has more important things to do. This is the microphone of Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. Come Sunday, it will reach to the far corners of the kingdom.
Welcome back to this edition of Chiefs Live. Kendall Gammon, the snapper, Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. We will be part of the delegation to see Congress this week, try to get things figured out.
Get everything going, yes.
Get some cooperation here. Let's go now. Anyway, the Chiefs go to Washington, D.C. to take on the Redskins. And let's talk a little bit about Alex Smith now and his leadership, what he's done, what he means going into December football, trying to win this game and throughout the rest of the month.
Well, he's definitely brought a very calming presence, I think, to the QB position, which was in need coming into this season. When you look at him, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions in the first 9 games. Then over these last 3 games, 7 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. So doing some good things. You're starting to see him go down the field a little bit more. The other thing that I like, and I think goes unnoticed, and I'm not sure why, Mitch, is the fact that he gets yardage with his legs, does a great job. He's on pace. He's going to become the all-time Chiefs leading QB rusher here very, very soon, most likely this game. But how tough he is in terms of knowing when to take off and run with it and make some big plays. And he made a couple nice plays with his legs this week against Denver.
Yeah, people talk about the running quarterbacks in this league, and you hear Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick and RG3, this week's opponent. But isn't Alex in that same discussion as a weapon running the ball?
I think he absolutely is because, again, he's made people pay this year. It goes all the way back to that first game against Jacksonville. He's doing a good job, and the fact is maybe it's not as flashy. I don't know what it is. It doesn't make sense to me, but the fact is he does a nice job of it. He understands his coverages. If you've got people in man and you're playing over the top, now all of a sudden, if the middle of the field voids, he'll take off and get it. Or, again, third down rushes. I don't know how many big third downs he's got this year with his legs, but it had been several, and it's been very, very important to the Chiefs' success.
Well, this week, there's a lot on the plate. In fact, if the Chiefs win this game, they'll have 10 wins. But if Baltimore or Miami loses, Kansas City's assured of being in the playoffs. That's something that's not lost on Alex Smith because the word since he came to town has been focus.
And early on in the year, we were the team making the plays. We made the plays late in games that put us on the other side. And these last 3 weeks, we weren't able to get it done. So, I certainly view it like I said. We got a chance to get a W this week and get into the postseason potentially. So, I think just everybody kind of. You're looking just to get a little bit better, everybody. Let's just turn it up just a little bit. I don't think anyone needs to do anything crazy at all. Just kind of continue to do what we've been doing.
And try to get a win in Washington this week against the Redskins. Another guy that has to be in the discussion here is Jamaal Charles. When you talk about league MVP, it's going to be Manning and Brady. But in the next discussion,
right,
or even in that same discussion, you have to look at what Jamaal Charles has done this season. Statistically, and just go through Jamaal and what he's doing.
He's doing such a great job this year. He has the second most offensive touches at 274 behind Adrian Peterson. He has the second most scrimmage yards behind LeSean McCoy at 1463. And he's rushed for 1,011 yards. That's the third in the league. So, doing some great things. It's amazing to me. I talk about it all the time, Mitch. This is a guy at 5'11", 200 pounds, is the toughest runner inside the tackles that I've ever seen at that size.
Yeah, I, with apologies to everybody else, we could sit here and talk. This guy, to me, is the top running back in Kansas City Chiefs history. And to still have the all-time NFL per carry average all-time in the NFL with as many carries as he's had is phenomenal. Plus, he's number one in the NFL in first downs gained. But we're also seeing him now get involved in the passing game even more. And with Nile Davis kind of being a vice president, it just seems to be that this could be a good month ahead for Jamaal Charles.
Well, I certainly think so. And the fact about you talked about his receptions, he has 55 on the year. That's fourth among NFL running backs. So again, getting more and more involved. And I like him in the passing game because he's in space quicker, more often, and I don't think he takes as many big hits because he's very good at shedding that first big hit and just making people glance off of him a lot. So, again, I like how he's been used this year.
Another guy I've liked how he's been used is Anthony Fasano. He's just got to stay healthy, but Fasano now has been a weapon for Alex Smith in this offense. The tight end, we saw it in training camp, is a big part of what the Chiefs want to do. But with the injuries, first of all, what has Anthony Fasano brought to this team?
I'm going to start with the locker room in terms of his presence in there. The five-year veteran came over from Miami, I think spent some time in Dallas as well. He's been a very good influence there. But the big thing is a tight end is always a QB's best friend. And you see right here Alex Smith going. And anybody's your best friend when you make catches like that, I'm going to tell you right now. And here coming off the line, just a little out route right there, doing a nice job. He's had three touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Again, that's no accident. Getting him back in terms of being able to also be the complete tight end in terms of blocking as well for the run game, that makes, again, I talk about it, but all the difference in the world.
Unfortunately, there's a real chance Anthony Fasano may not be able to play this week. He suffered a concussion on a play. He was trying to make an awesome play against the Denver Broncos. If he can't, now all of a sudden, with just Sean McGrath as the only healthy tight end, the Chiefs have an issue here. So that question was posed to Andy Reid. What are your choices? And who would be a second tight end to be with McGrath to go to Washington?
One's got experience and one doesn't. You'd kind of weigh that out and see what you think. I think they both can catch the football well. One probably blocks a little bit better than the other one. That's what it would come down to.
Dominic Jones or Demetrius Harris here, but whomever that is who the Chiefs use in this game, Kendall, How much is it important to be involved in the protection part of this game? We'll get into Washington in a second. But when I see Brian Arakpo and I see Kerrigan, how important is that second tight end?
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth, and the fact is you're going to be getting Fisher back at right tackle, it looks like, and Stevenson at left tackle. So you've got a little bit of different nuances going on there. One hadn't played for a week or two. The other one switching from right to left. So having those guys to help in the pass game a little bit in terms of those guys and the run game as well, I think is very, very paramount this week.
Well, this week it is the Washington Redskins. We come back on Chiefs Live. We're going to take a closer look at the 3-9 Redskins. What's good about them? Where have they struggled? We'll have that when we return on Chiefs Live.
This is a tunnel, but not everyone can enter. The men who gather here have a kingdom to honor, a home to defend. And come Sunday, there's no place they'd rather be. This is the Players Tunnel at Arrowhead. Just a few short steps from glory.
Would you like a behind-the-scenes look at Arrowhead Stadium? Then come on out to Arrowhead for one of our amazing stadium tours. You'll visit the Founders Club, the Scout Investments Club level, the Hall of Honor presented by Time Warner Cable, the team locker room, and walk along the field itself. We have a number of tour options to fit your style, and we can't wait to see you at Arrowhead Stadium. For dates and times, visit goarrowhead.com for more information. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs. Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
This is a microphone like no other microphone. It's not meant for karaoke or morning announcements, no. This mic has more important things to do.
Touchdown!
Touchdown!
This is the microphone of Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Come Sunday, it will reach to the far corners of the kingdom.
It is on to Washington to take on the Redskins, and this is interesting, Kendall, because when you look at how you prepare now for San Diego in the two Denver games, three wide, lots of sub-package, seven DBs, how different is this? Is this the Philadelphia file coming off the shelf?
You know what, you're going to have to take some pages from that book, certainly, with RG3, you know, the all-everything Heisman Trophy winner, of course, coming off the surgery, but we're going to take a look at some of the things he does in the run game and how well he does it. When you look at the read option, and we go to this in a minute here, when you look, you're going to look at the fact that as, well, I guess we don't have it right now. There we do. Okay, we'll start this running. And as you go, you're going to see that he's going to fake to the running back right here, and he's going to take the ball downhill at an angle and then pitch the ball right at the line of scrimmage, which is very, very difficult to defend. We'll watch this for just a second, then go into something else. The fake right there coming downhill. And that for a very healthy game. And when you look at the end zone level, I think it's interesting right here. What you're going to see is you're going to see the end here. He's going to collapse on RG3 right there, or rather collapse on the run. Right here, linebacker is responsible for getting to the QB. But the thing you're going to see is you're going to see the running back and another guy get to him and double him. Therefore, you don't have anybody on him, and he's able to take the ball downfield and really put this guy right here in a very, very big quandary to make a decision. And when it comes down to it, he really can't be right.
Interesting, Moss is the pitch guy here. You got Morris, but you have a wide receiver that you have to account for. That's Santana Moss getting the pitch.
Well, and the fact is that that guy can flat run the ball, and it that makes it even more interesting because now you're not expecting that because the guy that would normally be the pitch guy is the guy you fake to coming up the middle. So very big. And then the other thing that we've talked about is Garcon and what he can do to you, averaging at least 5 catches in every game this year. Actually, there was only one game that he had 5. Every other game was 6 or more, so doing a nice job. And we'll take a look at him real quick as well once we get this. Well, we don't have that right now, so we'll have to talk about it. But with Garcon and how he does things, the fact is the play fake holds the linebackers, and they'll come in the middle. And at times, you'll see 10 to 15-yard gaps between the linebackers and the safeties, and now you've got that big window that basically you and I could throw a ball into. And when he gets the ball, I mean, it's all over. He's done some really nice things with the ball after the catch.
Yeah, Garcon is fourth in the NFL in yards after catch, something we've focused on with Denver, and Kansas City needs to be better in that category. But he's fourth in the league in yards after catch, I think second among wide receivers, and he's 30% of RG3's targets. So on those play passes, that's where he's looking.
Well, he is. And, of course, he's had a lot of success against the Chiefs. It goes back to when he was with Indianapolis. But the fact is he doesn't have the guy who was in here last week throwing the ball to him. Mm-hmm. Not that RG3 is not anything special, but he's not Peyton Manning, that's for certain.
Well, in this Washington team on defense, we've already alluded to it a little bit, but their ability to rush the passer. They do have a Justin Houston, Tom Bahali kind of duo here in Brian Arakpo and Kerrigan, because those two guys combined for 15 sacks between Ryan Kerrigan and Brian Arakpo.
Well, and when you look at Arakpo, he's had 5.5 sacks in the last 4 games, 8.5 total, 2 just last week against the Giants. So really doing a nice job, and he's just so athletic. He's had some injury problems at times, but he's overcome that. And the fact is, to me, he's a complete player in the fact of he plays the run very, very well. He can bull rush you, or he's got the speed or quickness to dip his hips and dip his shoulder and get around you as well. And when you've got that, that kind of speaks to why you were a first-round pick at some point in time.
And Kerrigan, high motor guy, out of Purdue, he's done an excellent job. Both these guys are Pro Bowlers and a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, what's not a problem is every week when we get a chance to catch up with Rachel Sanchi, a reporter from KCChiefs.com, and she takes this Chiefs-Redskins look a little further. Let's go to our focus point.
Week 13 brought another hard-fought loss. And all of a sudden, the momentum that was so readily available through the first 9 weeks of the season is in short supply. The Chiefs will now head to Washington to face the Redskins, a team that, despite its imperfections, is highly dangerous on both sides of the ball. So there will be a lot to prepare for leading up to kickoff. Here are the 3 focus points for this week's matchup. First, RG3's mobility. Robert Griffin III devastated defenses throughout the 2012 season, leading the league with 6.8 yards per carry and winning Rookie of the Year honors en route to the Redskins' first NFC East crown since 1999. Since suffering a devastating knee injury in the playoffs, RG3 has yet to reach that same level of play. He has often been seen limping and has publicly complained of the bulky brace he has worn on his knee since the injury. However, even a hobbled RG3 is still dangerous, and most assume that it's only a matter of time before he is back to his 2012 form. So Chiefs defenders will have a close eye on number 10 on Sunday. Second, the Chiefs run defense. If there's been one consistent weakness of the Chiefs defense throughout the season, it's been in stopping the run. The Chiefs rank 27th in the league in opponent yards per carry and have given up the 5th most runs of 20 yards or more through 13 weeks. Meanwhile, the Redskins probably have the premier rushing offense in the NFL, leading all teams in both total rushing yards and yards per carry. Containing the Redskins' rush offense will likely be a big point of emphasis for the Chiefs on Sunday. Finally, special teams. Hampered by salary cap penalties and the departure of their special teams coach in the offseason, the Redskins have struggled mightily on special teams in 2013. Through 13 games, they rank near the bottom of the league in most every special teams category. Meanwhile, behind the leadership of Coach Dave Tobe, the Chiefs have thrived in the third phase, ranking first in kickoff return average and recording 3 touchdowns so far this year. Even though the division race may seem like a long shot at this point, the progress that this team makes in the final 4 games of the season will play a big part in any potential playoff games come January. The coming weeks represent a pivotal stretch for the Chiefs, and it all gets started on Sunday in D.C.
This is a tunnel, but not everyone can enter. The men who gather here have a kingdom to honor, a home to defend. And come Sunday, there's no place they'd rather be. This is the Players' Tunnel at Arrowhead. Just a few short steps from glory.
Would you like a behind-the-scenes look at Arrowhead Stadium? Then come on out to Arrowhead for one of our amazing stadium tours. You'll visit the Founders Club, the Scout Investments Club level, the Hall of Honor presented by Time Warner Cable, the team locker room, and walk along the field itself. We have a number of tour options to fit your style, and we can't wait to see you at Arrowhead Stadium. For dates and times, visit GoArrowhead.com for more information. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
This is a microphone like no other microphone. It's not meant for karaoke or morning announcements, no. This mic has more important things to do. This is the microphone of Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. Come Sunday, it will reach to the far corners of the kingdom.
So again, the Chiefs take on the Washington Redskins this week at FedEx Field in Washington. It's pretty clear what's at stake here. Kansas City wins, Baltimore or Miami loses, the Chiefs are in the playoffs. What about that scenario?
Well, you talk about the playoffs, and to me, the last three games that the Chiefs have played in have been like playoff games, and I understand that they haven't come out on the end that they would like to be coming out on, but the fact is, getting a team that's so young, and you have 32 new players to the team from last year's squad, getting used to these big games, I think, cannot be underestimated. And certainly, I do like the leadership in the locker room and at the top in Coach Andy Reid and what he's done.
Well, Andy Reid's been there. The Chiefs could also sweep the NFC East. I'm not sure that's been done in a while, or ever by Kansas City. But that'd be nice to get that done as well. But to get on that plane with 10 wins and have a playoff bid secured would be a really good feeling going into the last three games. Well, what's coming up on KCChiefs.com? Let's check in to see some special things that await you when you go online.
Hey, Chiefs fans. Here's what you can expect on KCChiefs.com. Today, our own Chiefs insider, Reed Farron, will be hosting a Twitter Q&A with defensive tackle Don Terry Poe. After that, you can expect a full preview, including an infographic and video breakdown of the Chiefs matchup versus Washington. Then, this weekend, we'll go under the helmet with Chiefs running back and special teams weapon Nile Davis. And we'll give you a sneak peek into this week's Chiefs Kingdom episode featuring former Chiefs player and actor John Amos. And, of course, the Chiefs take on Washington at FedEx Field for a new central kick.
Mark Meshevitz, our newest star on Chiefs Live. Okay, as we close here, the biggest challenge Kansas City has to beat the Washington Redskins.
Well, I think without exception, it's the run game of Washington and what they're doing right now, averaging 150 yards on the in the ground a game, which is first in the NFL. So big test. When you look at Alfred Williams, he has the most yards after contact, rather second most at 2.7. Of course, we'll see the next guy in the running back from Oakland, who's averaged a 3 after contact, and that's a big deal because that means you're punishing people. So it is going to be one of the biggest tests of the year for them in terms of the run game.
Yeah, and Morris last year was third all time in rookie yardage, and this guy came from nowhere. He came out of Florida Atlantic. Anyway, the Chiefs try to go to Washington. They'll go to Washington and try to get a win and seal a playoff bid, hopefully, by the time you see us next week on Chiefs Live. He's the snapper, Kendall Gammon, 15 years the best at ever in the league. I'm Mitch Holter, voice of the Chiefs. Thank you for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Live.